We open with hymn number 566.
Thank you.
sing hymn number 569. Possibly Psalm 105 on the handout. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name.
Make known his deed among the peoples.
Sing to him, sing psalms to him.
Talk of all his wondrous works.
Glory in his holy name.
Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord.
Seek the Lord and his strength.
Seek his face evermore.
Remember his marvelous works which he has done.
His wonders and the judgments of his mouth.
O seed of Abraham, his servant.
You children of Jacob, his chosen ones.
He is the Lord our God.
His judgments are in all the earth.
He remembers his covenant forever.
The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations.
The covenant which he made with Abraham.
And his oath to Isaac.
And confirmed it to Jacob for a statute.
To Israel as an everlasting covenant.
Saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance.
When they were few in number, indeed very few, and strangers in it.
when they went from one nation to another.
From one kingdom to another people.
He permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes,
saying, "Do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm."
Moreover, he called for a famine in the land.
He destroyed all the provision of bread.
He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave.
They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons.
Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him.
The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free.
He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions.
To bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom.
Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob dwelt in the land of Ham.
He increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies.
He turned their heart to hate his people, to deal craftily with his servants.
He sent Moses his servant and Aaron, whom he had chosen.
They performed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham.
He sent darkness and made it dark, and they did not rebel against his word.
He turned their waters into blood and killed their fish. Their land abounded with frogs, even in the chambers of their kings.
He spoke, and there came swarms of flies and lice in all their territory.
He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land.
He struck their vines also, and their fig trees, and splintered the trees of their territory.
He spoke, and locusts came, young locusts without number.
And ate up all the vegetation in their land, and devoured the fruit of their ground.
He also destroyed all the firstborn in their land, the first of all their strength.
He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes.
Israel was glad, or Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them.
He spread a cloud for a covering, and fire to give light in the night.
The people asked, and he brought quail, and satisfied them with the bread of heaven.
He opened the rock, and the water gushed out. It ran in the dry places like a river.
For he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant.
He brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness.
He gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations.
That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our first lesson is found in the third chapter of Ezra, the first through the seventh verse. The eighth through the 11th verse. Now in the second month of the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and the rest of the brethren of the priests and Levites, and all who had come out of the captivity to Jerusalem, began work, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and above to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. Then Jeshua with his sons and brothers, Kadmiel with his sons and the sons of Judah, arose as one to oversee the working of the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Then all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Here ends the first lesson. I know. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our second lesson is found in the second chapter of 1 Timothy, the first through the eighth verse. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that he may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. Here ends our second lesson. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
Our sermon text is found in the 12th chapter of Luke, the 15th through the 21st verse. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully." And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will all those things be which you have provided?' So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, if thanksgiving is about being thankful, then it's a relatively useless holiday. But if instead it is about giving thanks, then it is a good and honorable celebration. Anyone can be thankful or feel gratitude, but what does that even mean? For most people, it means being able to name off one or a few things of which you're thankful when it's your turn at the Thanksgiving dinner table. It means a little more, perhaps, if you're thankful for people, that you're glad to have them around, that you're grateful for their love or friendship or help, because at least then you have an actual person to thank. But what does it mean to be thankful for your home, for your job, for your children, for any blessing which you have in this life? Who are you thanking? A certain rich man was very thankful for the bumper crops which overflowed his barns and garners. He no longer had to work. He had reached the pinnacle of success, that point that everyone wants to reach so that they can spend the rest of their days without working or laboring and enjoying life. For all this, he was very thankful, in exactly the same way most people are thankful on this holiday. What they really are is glad that they have possessions, or perhaps glad that they can enjoy another's company. But that is not thanksgiving. To give thanks requires two things. First, that you recognize that the things that you have, all of them, are gifts. And as gifts, you have not earned them. And second, that you acknowledge the one who gives those gifts and express your gratitude toward him. That is thanksgiving, rather than just simply being thankful. That is what the rich man lacked. He believed that the crops which filled his barns were there because he worked so hard to acquire them. Or perhaps he was just lucky. He was quite happy, and who wouldn't be, to no longer have to work. What a tremendous gift had been handed to him. And yet he was oblivious to it as a gift. He gave no thought whatsoever to the God who had given him life and success, who had given him breath, who had caused his fields to yield plentifully, who had blessed him with the resources to hire the laborers who went out and tended his fields, the rain which watered his crops. Could he himself make that seed grow in the ground? Could he himself protect it from blight and pestilence? No, he could do none of those things. And furthermore, he gave no thought to the responsibility which God had placed upon him, that since he was now blessed with much, he should have compassion upon those who have little and are hungry. He believed that the only thing that mattered now was enjoying the fruits of his success. But he never got that opportunity, because that very night he died. And then all the wealth in which he trusted was beyond his reach forever. Standing before his God and judge, he was destitute. He was utterly impoverished. He had no riches at all, because he had cared only for those treasures which fade away and are easily lost. He had none of the treasures which endure forever. Many a rich man has found himself in that very situation. He might have had many years to enjoy his wealth, but in the end, all of it in which he trusted failed him in his death. But you do not need to be rich. You do not need to be so rich as that to likewise enter eternity destitute and impoverished, having wasted your life seeking riches and ease. That description fits almost our entire nation, from the poor to the rich. And on this Thanksgiving Day, as many of them are able, like the rich man, to express their thankfulness for what they have managed to acquire so far, there are many more of them who now, at this very moment, occupy public squares demanding to be given what they refuse to earn by honest labor in this life, not acknowledging what they already have, nor the fruits of others' labors. You and I are not immune either. For which of you can say that you are able to do what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall wear. Is not the life more than food, and the body more than clothing? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these will be added to you." Indeed, none of these things which supply our bodies with either necessities or luxuries will be any help in the kingdom of heaven. None of them can help us in our death. Yet when we ourselves cannot see our future secure, these needs for things consume us as if there's nothing else that matters. Will God then say to you, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you"? Then whose will all those things be which you have provided, or perhaps all those things for which you have constantly striven? Hear Jesus' words, so that you are not so foolish to store up earthly treasures, but be impoverished toward God. Rather, give thanks unto the Lord who provided you with all the things that you need for your body. And as you begin to thank God, first remember that you have nothing at all that he has not given you. Remember that you have done nothing at all to deserve the rich blessings that he has given you every day. And remember, all that you do have, God has given you purely of his grace, of his unmerited favor. If he were to deal with you according to what you deserve, then you would long ago have stood before the judgment seat of God, impoverished. But he has not dealt with you according to your works, but according to the unmerited favor which he secured for you in his Son, Jesus Christ. And for every mouthful of food or breath of air, or your shelter or your clothing, your friends and family, peace in our land, and all of these things, all of them continue to come to you because God has first loved you in his Son, Jesus Christ. He loved you even when you do not acknowledge him. He loved even those who hate and despise him, who do not even believe that he exists. But he has given greater blessings still than all of these. Blessings that are as high above all these earthly things as heaven is high above the earth. He has given to you the forgiveness of sins through the suffering and death of his Son, Jesus Christ. He has given to you his word, and a church in which to hear it. He has given you holy baptism so that you might be born again through the gift of his Holy Spirit. He has secured a place for you in his Father's house. The blessings of this life will end at your grave, but these gifts of God in Jesus Christ, mercy, grace, forgiveness of sins, faith and hope and love, these are treasures that endure forever. With these, you can stand rich before God in eternity. So you see, dear Christians, there's nothing that you have, whether in this life or in the next, that you have not been given. If you are rich in this life, it is because God has seen fit to bless you. If you are rich toward God in heaven, it is likewise because he has blessed you richly through his Son, Jesus Christ. So that whether in this life or in the life to come, all that you have comes from God. If you can have nothing then that God has not given you, why did the rich man in the parable die with nothing? Because just as you can cast away your earthly blessings in ungratefulness, much like the occupiers are attempting to do in various cities around this nation, you can also cast away the heavenly blessings. God has freely given the forgiveness of sins to all men through the atonement of his Son, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift that has ever been given. He freely gives his Holy Spirit to all who desire his mercy. Yet you can shut your ears to his word and turn away his sacraments. You can refuse to hear the word of absolution which forgives your sins and cast that forgiveness away. And that is the only reason that anyone is rich in this world's goods but not toward God. Because he has taken greedily of his earthly blessings but callously cast aside the gold and silver and precious gems of the forgiveness of sins, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and adoption as God's own children and members of his household. Therefore, do not waste this day, for indeed, it is a good and honorable day if you do what the day says. That is, not only be thankful, but to participate in thanksgiving toward him who has given you everything. Therefore, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and gracious, and his mercy, his steadfast love endures toward you in Christ Jesus forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Sky, love, the heavens and all the powers therein. To
our whole life, whose mercy is everlasting and whose truth endures to all generations, who art merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. We come before your presence with thanksgiving. You have granted us life and favor, and your visitation has preserved our spirit. You have kept us and hidden us under the shadow of your wings. Your compassion are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let our mouths be filled with your praise and with your honor all the day, and forgive all our sins. Do good unto us in your good pleasure, and let your grace and mercy abound unto us. Teach us to know the way in which we should walk, and lead us in the right paths and in the everlasting way. Keep us in your truth. Surround us with your favor as with a shield. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Give peace to the whole world and especially to your church. Bless our government and all the inhabitants of our land. Establish the bonds of civil concord and grant us prosperity and health. For all these your mercies we pray and magnify your holy name, now and forever, world without end, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord God, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by thy governance may be righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Bless we the Lord.
Praise be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Amen.